Welcome to the Growing Faith podcast, with children, young people and families at the heart of all we do, sharing stories of where God's at work across home, school and church.
Hello and welcome everyone. My name is Toby Martins-Ojo. I am the coordination specialist for the Growing Faith Foundation. A large part of my role surrounds feeding in the voices of children and young people into all the work that we do here at the Foundation. With that being said, I am delighted to welcome Mike North to the podcast today. Mike is the brilliant Children and Young People's Advisor in the Diocese of Sheffield. Today, Mike and I will be discussing how we authentically listen to the voices of children and young people. We hope this conversation will shed some light on that for you and for us. Enjoy. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us today on the Growing Faith podcast. For those of our listeners that don't know you or who might not know you, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
So my name is Mike North. I am the Children's and Young People's Advisor for Sheffield Diocese. I've been in this role or roles like it for 14 years. I surprised myself when I worked that out, but have a big heart and have always really had a heart for faith journeys in children and young people. So right from growing up through my local Baptist church, was part of the Baptist church when I was a kid, I've had this fascination with faith, Christianity, and how it can make, you know, a huge difference to life and the outlook of life and to the care of others and to the care of the planet. And I'd love to see faith journeys grow and explore. There's so many ways forward, and that whole area fascinates me and has done for many, many years.
Thank you so much. It's so interesting to hear about people's journey into working with children and young people. Often comes from what they've experienced themselves. And I know that you've been thinking about how we listen to the voices of children and young people. I watched your excellent video, and you've been thinking about this throughout your work in your diocese, the Diocese of Sheffield. Can you tell us why you think this is so important?
Yeah, I think I look back on my own experience and how I was valued as a kid in the church. And I don't know if my church leaders at the time necessarily knew what they were doing, but they did something important in encouraging me. And the children's groups and the youth groups that I was part of, just part of their makeup was to encourage the children, young people that came to take part, to have a voice, to lead stuff and be involved in it. And I guess that kind of DNA in what I grew up with is just what I've brought with me into my role now, of that importance of, you know, not just entertaining children or young people, either in groups or in church. You know, we don't want to put on a show that, you know, they want to keep coming back to, but more they want to be part of something. They want to connect with something. They want to have a reason for attending and grow that sense of belonging and walking with others and journey and all that. So that's really sort of my heart behind the importance of children, young people in the church. You know, they shouldn't be spectators. They shouldn't just be consumers, but completely and utterly part of the church with a voice that is valid. You know, we don't become Christians at a certain age necessarily. We don't have to wait until we reach adulthood to be valued in God's kingdom. So I'm trying to just trying to remind myself of the biblical stance that is there for us all to see of God's view of children and how he loves to speak through them. He loves to invite them into what he's doing, and he often uses them because they are uniquely placed in our world to bring a fresh perspective, a creative edge, a beauty that sometimes as we get older we lose something. So I really think, you know, children have a special gift for the church, and we're missing out on God's best if we don't open our eyes to see some of that.
I completely agree with that, and just working towards involving children in every single aspect of our church life, and not just, like you're saying, putting them on show and, oh, can you do this bit of worship, or can you read this verse and thank you for your time, see you later. It is just so important. And I was watching your video and I saw that you were speaking about children in the Bible and how present they were, and just speaking about so many children, and I was like, this is so encouraging to hear, and how we can live this out in our lives and in our church communities today. But what we also hear about, I'd say, is you touched a bit on authenticity, and I wonder what does it mean for us to authentically listen to children and young people, and why is that so important? So for us not to place our expectations on what they should be saying, and only listen to the young people that are saying what we want to hear. So how do we listen authentically to the children and young people around us?
I am trying to work that out for myself. And so I'm like, well, what does it feel like to be authentically listened to? For, you know, for my point of view, you know, I can have conversations where you sometimes feel that the person isn't present, their mind is on something else. Or you can sometimes have those conversations where you think, no matter what I say, you've made your mind up about this, and you're just entertaining my thoughts, but you're not hearing them, or you're not trying to get underneath what it is that I might be saying. So I guess authentic listening for me, you know, I try to think, what does it feel like when somebody really is eyeballing you and is, you know, their faces are open to hear what you have to say? You can tell if somebody's interested, often because it's followed up with questions or observations from what you're saying. And I think that's part of the key with anyone. This is life lessons. This isn't just like applicable to children and youth when we're trying to hear their voice in the church. This is like when you have your friends around, when you're walking with somebody, when you're working with somebody. It is about having a teachable mind and an open expression on your face, I think, to invite new thought, not to be full of judgment and sort of, you know, lots of things that you've already made up your mind, or to be defensive. I think sometimes we can be defensive listeners. We don't like what we're hearing, and we immediately put the message in this kind of box that says, I don't believe that, or I don't agree with that, and I don't like that. And we can get really defensive then about our position. And I'm trying as I get older to hear anything and everything from anyone who I speak with, but particularly from children's voices, hear what's beneath what they're saying, and encourage an authentic message from them as well. So I think sometimes, you know, children love to give the right answers. There's something instinctively in a child that wants to please their adults, their superiors. They want to be rewarded for their answers. So they'll give an answer that seems right to them. And I've always loved that sort of age. And it's often around sort of 10, 11, 12 year olds, where you can almost play that game really obviously with young people, because they've learned to really engage like cognitively a bit more in conversation. So you can ask sort of difficult questions. When an answer comes out that you think, I think you might just be saying that because you think it's the right answer. And then to be able to go back as a youth worker, or as a parent, as a significant other in the child's life, and say, do you really mean that? That's really interesting, because people think lots of different things on that matter, don't they? And to invite possibly a more real response by saying that kind of stuff. And I think that's part of authentic listening, is breaking down the child's barriers to what they feel they can say, to actually, look, you can have a different point of view. You know, I've heard lots of different things on this matter, and people do think differently. You know, what do you really think? And yeah, just try and open that door a little bit more, and be okay with what comes out, and meet it with an attitude of, that's really interesting, I've not thought about that before, or there's something in what you've said that really, you know, disagree, you know, I really disagree, but I'm really interested where that comes from. I think those are all good ways of listening and trying to get an authentic message in our ears.
Those are such great tools. And it just made me think about how much you need permission sometimes to do things, and giving children and young people that permission just to you can say this. And if it's wrong, we can address it. If it's right, we can also address it. And just allowing them to speak without judgment. And I know that a lot of our listeners right now are working with children and young people in all their different contexts. And you've already touched on it, but I wonder if you can give practical examples for us and how we can foster an environment where children are comfortable to speak freely without worrying that they'll be judged, or like you're saying, that they'll disappoint adults around them. What does that look like for you?
Let's start with modeling it. I think as leaders, so if you work with others in a children's group setting, youth group setting, you've got maybe two or three or more leaders that you're working with, that you model it in your leadership team, but not just in your leadership, but you model it with the leaders in front of the children and young people. So you're asking, almost publicly to your fellow leaders about different things, and you're showing a real listening ear. You're showing a non-shocked response to different things. You're showing an interest in other people, so that the children can say, "Oh, look how they speak to each other. They're really open with each other. They're very vulnerable with each other." And I think sometimes just demonstrating that is a good place to start, so the children or young people can think, actually, I can communicate to them like that too. But I think there's probably loads of different techniques and ways that you can create an environment that feels safe to talk. I know a lot of children's groups, and I really advocate for this, kind of had like circle times as part of their session, whether it's just a Sunday school, a quick 20-minute time together, or whether it's like a 2-hour midweek club or whatever. Just have some of the time, but regularly, do it every time you meet, where you're inviting open feedback as to how people are, like in a circle time, an invitation, not that everyone has to do it, but that you invite, how are people feeling today? What's going on in your life? What have been the highlights this week? What have been the things that have been really hard this week and difficult? And again, model a safe space to share that stuff, so that everyday stuff, you can practice with that. Children can practice saying just the normal stuff about their day, but saying what it's real about. Maybe I fell out with my friend, or I got in trouble with the teacher this week, or somebody said something that I really didn't like, and they don't even know that they've hurt me. Have a space where that stuff can be talked about, but you create that environment, and you set the rules, if you like, that say, no matter what anyone says in this space, we're going to love people, we're going to listen to people, we're going to believe people, and we're going to support each other. Sort of those kind of rules, if you like, that set up an environment where hopefully children and leaders alike can bring their real selves, their real voices, and their real thoughts into a group. And then I think out of that, then you start to create an environment where, if there is other things that's going off, or other opinion, if you want to seek the children's opinion about a big decision that the church is making, then you can do that in that space, because hopefully you've already fostered that sort of trust, that openness, that listening. We want to hear what you think about what color chairs we're going to order, or we're looking at starting a new service on a Sunday afternoon, but we should probably ask the children what they think about it. So if you've already nurtured that safe space where people can share real stuff, then I think that's probably a good thing for lots of other areas of the church's life. And also, just from a safeguarding point of view, I'm doing a piece of work at the moment with a sexual abuse survivor, and it's about helping children to be able to disclose, if they feel they can and want to, about stuff that's not right in their lives, the stuff that they're, wondering about, stuff that maybe somebody is telling them it's okay, but their conscience is not happy with it, or maybe they've heard other messages that says that's not okay if that's happening. So again, to nurture a safe place where children might just be able to say to another leader, this is happening to me and it does make me sad, or I'm a little bit anxious about it. And again, for that to be treated with love, with, you know, belief, and with gentleness and with all the safeguarding training that you have at your disposal to be able to sort of action what needs to be actioned without causing alarm, without being shocked, without being surprised, without judging the situation, all that stuff. So I think it, that all that fits into that category of creating those safe spaces and real spaces where real things can be talked about.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And there's so much that we can learn from simple safeguarding procedures. I learned that from your video, and being a previous school teacher myself, I'm like, this makes so much sense. And it was so encouraging to hear that in your video. I was listening as you were saying and speaking about young people bringing their real selves and just what's happening in their day-to-day life to circle time, for instance, that goes on in a church, and being able to trust the adults around them. And it reminded me of a conversation I had recently with someone from a different diocese where they said, why do we listen to children and young people if we are not prepared to take them seriously? And it was such a simple statement. And I was like, that is so true, because things like listening to what happened today is taking them seriously and hearing what they're saying. And so I wonder, and I know some of our listeners will have the same question, how do we make sure that we don't pay lip service to the words of children and young people, but like we actually implement deep-rooted and sustainable change as a result of what they're saying, from the what can the chairs look like to, oh, look, we want to recruit a new bishop and the things like this. So what, how can we do that?
Yeah, I'm learning. I feel that you're asking me questions to get the right answer, and I'm like just muttering away my own thoughts. I'm learning this stuff, you know, and I'm not blind enough to know that we don't hear everything through a whole set of our own filters. Mm. And I guess it's trying to be aware of what filters we do have personally. It's like prejudice, you know, what stuff is already preloaded that we've got to try and get past in our own heads and our own minds when we hear stuff. And what boundaries do we give children to speak within is something I'm trying to understand as well. You know, when we say to a youth group, you know, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with our time when we meet together each week? It's a great question to ask a youth group. However, it's also a rubbish question to ask a youth group, because first of all, the young people are like, what are the parameters of that question? Because we could all say we'd love to go to the Bahamas, but that isn't going to happen, is it? Or we'd all like to do, you know, zip wires from the church spire down to the park or something. You know, you've asked a question, but the parameters haven't been set. And it's important, I think, to set those parameters so that you can authentically hear the real messages that young people and children are giving, and it doesn't just fit in a nice comfortable package for you. So if you're I don't know, maybe chairs isn't the right example to use, but if you're ordering new chairs, I mean, who actually does that in church? Maybe somebody does, but we always talk about chairs.
You never know.
We're ordering new chairs. What we could ask the children is, what color should we order the chairs? And we could get, you know, a whole mixture, and at the end of the day there'll be every color mentioned, and we'll just have to decide what color we're going to buy. We can't have, you know, pink and orange and blue and green and everything. We just need to, you know, is that even the right question? Or should we be saying, you know, we're wondering about buying chairs, but should we even be buying chairs? What can we do with the space? What kind of furniture should we have in our church? I don't know. It's maybe not the right example, but it's, you know, what questions are we asking, and therefore what answers are we expecting? And I would love us to, I'd love myself to be able to do this. I'd love all of us as we work children and young people to ask, you know, a better question. So we're not just asking because we have one little thing that we're prepared for the children to speak into. So we're going to just ask them about that little bit, but maybe there's bigger questions. So for Sheffield Diocese at the moment, We are going through, you know, a strategy refresh. And I'm super keen that children and young people can speak into it. But I don't just want it to be a token thing. I don't just want it there. We've asked the children and they've said this, and we'll go and do that. And we can be really manipulative with that. We can say, right, we're just going to ask them this one question because we're happy with whatever they say. We'll just go with it. And it will show that we've listened to them and we've gone ahead with it. And, you know, we've valued them. You know, what I want to be able to do is, what are the big questions that as a diocese we are asking? What direction, what are our priorities over the next 5, 10 years? Those are the actual questions that are being asked at sort of senior level. So I don't want us to sort of dumb down the questions when it gets to the children, to ask them about what colour chairs we want to buy. I want to be able to ask them, what is important that the church should be doing? You know, in your community, what should the church, what is it doing that you think this is really good and important for us to be doing? But what is it that we're not doing? And then help them to think. Again, it's setting the parameters. We can't necessarily take everyone to the Bahamas, although that might be a lovely thing for a church to do for its community. But, you know, but let's set the parameters of what might be possible. Help them to do a bit more blue sky thinking. Help them to dream. Come up with some silly examples and say, but you'll think of something much better than this. So again, it's setting the scene, it's being open, and it's encouraging sort of the left field, right field answers that might come out of the voices of children. But they'll only feel safe with saying that stuff if you've set permission, if you've set parameters that say, look, this is, these are the big questions that we're actually asking in this diocese at the moment or in this church. And we would love to hear what your heart is. And then the challenge is, can we hear what they are actually saying and can we do anything about it? But I think that's where the dialogue comes in. That's where conversation comes in. That's where, you know, when they say something that's like super exciting, but completely out of the box, you're like, how are we going to do that? You know, to bounce those questions back is absolutely fine, because then they can be part of the exploration of what might be possible. You know, if you can go back to them and say, that will cost an awful lot of money. You know, we don't have that at the moment. What do you think we should think of something else? Or do you think that there's a way of trying to find this money somewhere? But just go on a journey with them and allow them to be part of that challenge and those questions and the ongoing process as well. I think that's an important thing I'm trying to grasp at the moment. I don't want the listening bit to be a one-off event. We've listened to you, you said this, now we're going to go ahead and work it all out. I want it to be, you know, a journey together. So that the children and young people in our churches, in our diocese, feel that actually, yes, they are a valued part of the whole. Their voice is important to the bishop, to the senior staff, and they will continue to dialogue about what could be possible. What can we do with the resources? Who can help us shape a bid to, you know, attract more funding? Who can help us dream a solution to some of these problems? I think that's when it goes way beyond lip service, way beyond tokenism, to like meaningful engagement.
Thank you, Mike. That honestly has given our listeners so much practical things that they can be doing. And we've given us so much food for thought. And really, that seems like a brilliant place to end the podcast. And what I'm taking from this, and what I will take into my work listening to children and young people, is giving permission to be honest and to be real and to talk about their day, talk about the most mundane and the most exciting things that they come upon. So thank you so much for that. And for our listeners, you can find out about what Mike has to say around listening to children and young people on a video that will be linked in the show notes. Mike, thank you so much for speaking to us today and sharing your wisdom around listening to the voices of children and young people. It's genuinely been excellent. So thank you very much.
You've been demonstrating all the good listening skills on this Zoom screen. So thank you for your openness and your curiosity.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you for listening to the Growing Faith podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, subscribe now to get the latest episode. Join us next time as we hear more about growing faith.